Do you have any symptoms of an infection by an alleged virus? Are you going to wear a mask to protect yourself or protect others? Chris Whitty, medical advisor to the UK government, the 4th of March 2020.
In terms of wearing a mask, our advice is clear that wearing a mask if you don't have an infection really reduces the risk, almost not at all.
UK Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Professor Jonathan Van Dam, the 3rd of April 2020.
I was on the phone this morning to a colleague in Hong Kong who's a professor there who's done the evidence review for the World Health Organization on face masks, and we're of the same mind that there is no evidence that general wearing of face masks by the public who are well affects the spread of the disease in our society. In terms of the hard evidence and what the UK government recommends, we do not recommend face masks for general wearing by the public.
UK government briefing statement on the 24th of April 2020.
The evidence on face masks has always been quite variable, quite weak, quite difficult to know exactly, and there's no real trials on it.
UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock, the 24th of April 2020, online interview.
When the evidence around the use of masks by the general public, especially outdoors, is extremely weak.
The 28th of April 2020, SAGE government briefing.
The recommendation from SAGE is completely clear, which is that there is weak evidence of a small effect in which a face mask can prevent a source of infection going from somebody who is infected to the people around them.
Chris Whitty, medical advisor to the UK government, the 11th of May 2020.
It clearly is a very serious epidemic, but equally the fact that actually the great majority of people will not die from this. And I'll just repeat something I said right at the beginning, because I think it's worth reinforcing. Most people, a significant proportion of people will not get this virus at all at any point in the epidemic, which is going to go on for a long period of time. Of those who do, some of them will get the virus without even knowing it. They will have the virus with no symptoms at all, asymptomatic carriage, and we know that happens. Of those who get symptoms, the great majority, probably 80%, will have a mild or moderate disease, might be bad enough for them to have to go to bed for a few days, not bad enough for them to have to go to the doctor. An unfortunate minority will have to go as far as hospital, but the majority of those will just need oxygen and will then leave hospital, and then a minority of those will end up having to go to severe and critical care, and some of those, sadly, will die. But that's a minority. It's 1% or possibly even less than 1% overall. And even in the highest risk group, this is significantly less than 20%, i.e. the great majority of people, even the very highest groups, if they catch this virus, will not die. And I've really wanted to make that point really clearly.
Now, consider the following from the very medical journals and organizations that we're led to believe are infallible. A 2015 study recruited healthcare workers from hospitals in Hanoi, Vietnam, and examined the benefits of cloth masks used in the healthcare setting and then measured flu and flu-like virus transmission. Well, the results may surprise you. The rates of all infection outcomes were highest in the cloth mask arm. Penetration of cloth mask by particles was almost 97%, and medical masks, and had this stunning conclusion. The results caution against the use of cloth masks. This is an important finding to inform occupational health and safety. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. Okay. Well, what about the World Health Organization? I'm sure they recommend masks. Well, just go to the WHO website, where they say there is limited evidence that wearing a medical mask by healthy individuals and households, in particular those who share a house with a sick person or among attendees of mass gatherings, may be beneficial as a measure of preventing transmission. At present, there is no direct evidence on the effectiveness of universal masking of healthy people in the community to prevent infection with respiratory viruses, including COVID-19. Then there's the gold standard itself, the CDC. Now, back in January, it recommended against masks, and Dr. Fauci repeated that guidance in March.
There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Now, Fauci recently explained his mask flip. He's now in favor of them, saying those comments initially were motivated by his concern for saving masks for healthcare workers. Facebook, by the way, I found this out today, now flags the old interview with Fauci as false information. But he sure seemed convincing. But that's not all. An April study published in Nature seemed consistent with the old Fauci as well. It measured and compared viral shedding in the coughing of 111 participants, some wearing masks, some not. The results? Among the samples collected without a face mask, we found that the majority of participants with influenza virus and coronavirus infection did not shed detectable virus in respiratory droplets or aerosols. For those who did shed virus in respiratory droplets and aerosols, viral load in both tended to be low. But the world is full of experts who got big issues wrong, isn't it? Before Americans are forced to accept new restrictions on their freedoms, or even be shamed or even beaten up for not complying with these mandates, demand to see all of the science behind the lockdowns, social distancing, and the masks. Otherwise, don't be surprised if you lose your pre-COVID way of life for the rest of your life.
Those who want to claim I wear a mask to protect others also make an implicit assumption that they themselves are infected. Most of these people have not even taken their, literally, useless test, so they've been led to believe they are infectious, based on no evidence. If they are convinced by this logic, they should never even get out of bed, as they may injure or kill someone by their actions, such as when driving to work, or falling down some stairs and injuring someone else on the way down. John Waters, Irish writer and formerly newspaper columnist.
Absurdly and ludicrously, a government is ridiculously claiming that it is interested in saving lives and protecting people's health, and is harassing a man with a health disability and dragging him into court because he refused to bend the knee to this tyranny.
But also think about the fact that at the very height of this alleged pandemic, back in April, there was no talk of compulsory masks.
No.
In all of May, when the figures were dying away to nothing, there was no talk of compulsory masks. In June, when there were no cases virtually at all, there was no talk of compulsory masks. Now, when it's gone. They are now bringing in compulsory masks. And the reason for that is they need visible evidence of terror.
Yes.
They need to create a visibility of the terror that they want to inculcate in the people. And that's why this is so important to them. These are really sinister people we're dealing with now. These are people that we previously thought of as people of our own kind, these politicians. We thought, but we have to start thinking of them now as alien beings, as hostile beings to the Irish people. They are the enemies of the Irish people. Clearly, they are intent, because the mask is a way of denying the very human face of the person. It is a way of taking away the individual, unique humanity of each person and turning us all into zombies and restoring us to a kind of animal state, so that we no longer will look at each other coming down the street as Tom or Mick or Mary, my friend, my sister, my brother, but instead as a festering mess of bacteria and viruses, which is a danger to my health. Oh, you know, I have to get out of the way. This is what they are turning the human person into. With this whole thing. This is, and I'm not saying that our people are responsible for thinking this up. They don't have the brains for that or anything. But this is what they're implementing. This is the thinking behind it, to destroy the spirit of the human person, the individuality, the personality, the conscience, the character of the human person. That is what this project is about.